This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Welcome to this Forerunner School. We have it every quarterly with different topic, and our heart desire is not just for teaching. Our heart desire is really awaken the heart of the people so that we understand the very heart of God. You know, God is doing great things. I keep saying that we are living in one of the most exciting times. So God is doing great things. And our prayer and our desire in every of our teaching is that so that we will know the heart of God. Because I'm not interested in just doing good teaching so that we know we are able to articulate and so on. I think that is important. But at the end of the day, the most important is the very heart of God. And that you will give rise to us praying and partnering and agreeing with God in such a time as this. Amen? You know, I'm excited about these 4 weeks of teaching, because this issue of Israel, especially if you know that we are living in the last days, you know, many people believe that we are living in end time. It's a huge issue because God has great zeal and burden for this nation. Okay? If some of us believe that God has written off Israel and the Gentile church has replaced the very call of God for Israel, we are grossly mistaken. I'm going to prove it to you today. Everything that we're going to share over this next four Sunday is going to be coming from the scripture. Because I always tell people, my opinion and your opinion are unimportant. The most important thing is what does the scripture say? And I always tell people, when you come to our teaching, don't take wholesale what we say, because I could be wrong. Everything that I say, please adopt the very heart and the attitude of Bereans. You know, Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says that after apostle taught, the Bereans, you know, they call it, they say the Bereans is more noble than the rest because they search the scripture diligently to see whether what apostles say is correct. No, I'm always amazed by that, because if today Apostle Paul is teaching in this house, I'm seated there listening, I'm going to be, wow, Paul, you know, who am I to question Paul, you know? But the Bereans, the scripture says, is more noble because they do not just take Apostle Paul's word at face value. They actually search the scripture. I'm sure Apostle Paul wasn't offended. Okay, so I won't be offended. So I always say, don't be quick to agree with what we say here. Neither do we be quick to disagree with what I say, because I may throw out some statement or teaching that you may not have heard before. But don't be quick to write off. Go back, search a scripture, see whether what I say is accordance to the scripture. If not, you can come next week and throw a chair at me. Okay, but don't be quick to throw a chair at me until you search it up. Okay, so this is how we are going to approach this topic. What we're going to do is that over the four weekends, we're going to have 3 hours. That means the first 2 hours, we're going to do teaching. And after that, the last hour, or maybe shorter than that, we're going to break into a group of discussion, because I realize everywhere I go when I teach, it's always good to break into a small group to discuss. When you ask questions, you actually learn a lot, okay? I'll be quick to tell you that we don't have all the answer, okay? If you expect us to have all the answer, you'll be disappointed, okay? Ask questions. We will try our best to answer you all the questions basing from our understanding from the scripture. So if we don't know, please don't be disappointed. You know, I always tell people, if I have all the answer, then I'm God, okay? So we don't have all the answer. Okay, my objective, I have threefold objective for this 4 weekends. Again, there are a lot. So there are, like this afternoon, I'm going to rush through pretty fast, because I'm going to run through Romans 9, 10, 11. If you know Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, is loaded. This 3 chapter is pertaining to Israel, and it's a must-known 3 chapter if you want to be a student in understanding Israel. When I say student, I'm not just talking about knowing cognitively. That means you know the very heart of God for this nation, for this beloved people. So I have 3 objectives, okay? First one is that I pray that we will walk away understanding God's heart and plan for Israel. To me, that's the most important. Okay, throughout this whole course, you realize that at the end of the day, if we really understand this issue of Israel. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, the mystery of Israel is actually not about Israel. It's about God. You know, sometimes we can go the other extreme. I have friends who are so zealous about this issue. The person tell me, when I see the Jewish people, I say, wow, the Jewish people, they feel like worshiping. No, we should love the Jews. But the Jewish people is the same as you and I. They are just human. We should love them, respect them. Let's not go to the other extreme. We respect them. We love them. They are our brother that God has called. We want to pray for them, stand with them, but never bow down to worship. Then we have gone wrong. Okay, so my first objective is so that we understand God's heart. God has great heart and zeal for this group of people. See, we can go another extreme where, you know, have you heard this thing called replacement theory? God has totally rejected Israel. That's unbiblical too. I call it a theory that comes from the pit of hell. Because Satan has great plan. That's where next week I'm going to talk about it. Okay. So the first objective is understand God's heart and plan for Israel. Especially we are living in these last days. Israel play a vital plan. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that if there's no Israel, Jesus cannot come back? I'm going to prove it to you from the scripture. So that as a Gentile church, because one of the role of the Gentile church is really to pray for her. We have to pray for her. Okay. And Satan knows the plan. That's why throughout ages, you know, have you wondered why? Throughout ages, Israel as a nation or as a people group, they always face great persecution. Nations hated her. All the way from Egypt, Assyrian, Babylon, Persian, Greece, Roman, Hitler, Germany. And it's going to come again. Antichrist Empire. There is a reason. What we are seeing right now in the Middle Eastern area is not a political issue. If you try to understand from the political arena, you will never understand. The answer is actually in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. It's a spiritual issue. Because Satan understands the redemptive plan of God. If there's no Israel, Jesus cannot come back. Jesus cannot come back. So we're going to talk about some of these things. So my prayer, the second objective is so that you awaken zeal and urgency to pray for Israel. Our primary role, not the only role, is to pray for the salvation of Israel. And then we provoke her to jealousy. We have to, and I'm going to give you a very practical way of how do we provoke Israel to jealousy, because sometimes, again, we can go extreme, okay? Yeah, I mean, you know, some people say, now we cannot eat pork and whatever, it's fine. I can talk about some of these issues. The third, objective for this course is so that we can arise as the voice of God to speak about this issue of Israel concerning the heart of God. Some of y'all probably heard of this guy called Peter Sukahira. Okay, I don't know if things have changed or not. He said that 70% of the Gentile church around the world believe in replacement theory. Wow. Have you heard of replacement theory? Replacement theory basically means that God has totally rejected Israel. Now the Gentile church has taken over the very core of Israel. Grossly mistaken. Because Romans chapter 11 verse 29 says that the core of God for Israel is irrevocable. Her so-called, inverted comma, rejection right now is temporal, not permanent. There is a reason. That's why it's called the mystery of Israel, which we're going to cover this afternoon, okay, for Sunday. I give you some of the topic. Then I'm going to go straight into it. Tell you why it's so vital for us to understand. Today, we're going to talk about the mystery of Israel, which is Romans chapter 11, verse 25. It's so vital and necessary for us to understand. Because when you read Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul actually talk about two apostolic burden that God is going to release, especially to the last day church, pertaining to the issue of Israel. Okay, that's why we need to understand the mystery of Israel. Mystery, okay, not mysterious. We can understand. Okay, I'll explain to you what is the mystery of God. Because in the New Testament, there are about 7 or 8 mystery of God. Very much of it has been revealed. Okay, and if I have time, at least I'm going to run through Romans 9. Because Romans 9 is Romans 9, 10, 11 is a must-know passage of Scripture. And Romans chapter 9 is one of the chapters that give great dispute, because sometimes we are confused. Because the issue in Romans chapter 9 is not about individual salvation. It's about national election of Israel. So we need to separate. When we understand that, then we fully understand what Paul is trying to say in Romans 9, Romans 10, and Romans 11. So that's for today. Next week, I'm going to run through some basic understanding of Israel to make sense of what is happening, especially the crisis in Middle East, so that we know how to pray. See, prayer have to be in accordance to the heart of God, so that it will be, in very comma, effective. Okay, God has a plan for Israel, and there's a reason why there are great crises right now in the Middle Eastern country. Okay, there will be no perfect peace. Trust me, not because I'm the prophet, because the Scripture told us so. There will be no perfect peace until the Prince of Peace returned for Israel. So Psalms 122 say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How do you pray? I'm going to give you another verse, okay, later on. Zechariah chapter 10, it talks about, in the last days, another Holocaust will come. Many Jewish people will again be killed. Okay, so how do we pray? Okay, so that's for next week, understanding Israel. As well as I want to talk about Israel is God's litmus. You know, Israel is God's litmus test. You are for Israel, you are for God. You are against Israel, you are against God. That's Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and goat. Okay, many people don't realize that it's actually in the context of Israel. Okay, three of the most important parables in the last day, that's Matthew chapter 25, parable of the 10 virgin, parable of talent, and the sheep and goat. The last one, the very last public parable, or rather private parable, Jesus taught is about Israel. Because he wants the Gentile church to know his heart for this nation so that we can stand with her and pray for her and provoking her to jealousy. So that is next week. And the third week, I'm going to run through Isaiah 60, 61, 62, which talk about God's zeal, his plan, and his commitment for Israel. Okay, detail, layout of God's plan. Isaiah 60, 61, 62. And the last one, which is August 4th, I'm going to give you a practical way. No, I believe being practical. How do we stand? How do we love? How do we pray? How do we provoke Israel to jealousy? No, I think it's fine if you want to wave Israel's flag, sing Jewish song, buy holy oil and whatever, go ahead. I think it's good, but there are practical ways that the Scripture, the Bible, the heart of God want us to do for Israel so that she can call upon her Messiah and be saved. Okay, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. Let me lay out some reason. Now I'm going to go straight into the teaching for today. Because to me, why is the most important. If you know why, you'll find out the what and the how. Turn me to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. The book of Zechariah is one of the books, if you want to know about Israel, you got to read. Especially chapter 12, 13, and 14. Okay, Zechariah chapter 1. I give you three reasons why it is so vital for the Gentile church to understand God's heart and purpose for Israel, especially if we believe that we are living in end time. You know, worldwide, most churches believe that we are living in the last days. And because of that, it's even more important for us to understand God's heart and plan for Israel. Because Israel play a big part, a vital part, in the last days, before Jesus returned. Not the only part, but big part. So we really need to understand so that we stand in alignment and in agreement with God. It's always about the issue of standing in agreement of God. It's not about Israel, or it's not about Singapore. It's not about your church. It's not about your teaching or whatever. It's always about God, this is your heart. If God's heart, he has a big plan for Israel, we stand with her. Okay, do you know that your Messiah, when he returned, he's a Jewish man? You know our religion is a Jewish root So get used to it. It's always Jewish. No, I'm not going to get into that. You know, some people say, when you go to eternity, you sing Jewish song, you will speak Hebrew. I don't know. I don't care. I get that, I'll find out. I was talking to God. I said, I hope that the worship song that we sing in eternity will be in Spanish. Because Spanish is the best language to worship. I love the language. So some people say, Hebrew, he'll be Hebrew. I don't know. I thought Hebrew is a bit rough, you know, the rough. Oh. But if God say Hebrew, then Hebrew, I'm fine. If God say Mandarin, I'm fine too. He's a boss, I'm not. But it's just my preference, okay? Anyway, my preference, my opinion does not matter. So it's just that I thought Spanish would be nice, you know. Espiritu Santo, so no, never mind, let's not get there, okay? No, I thought Spanish is the best language for worship. Because I've been to Latin America, it's like, whoa. I understand very little, but my heart melt. Okay, why do I get there? Never mind. Let's not go there. Okay, give you three reasons. Three reasons. Turn me to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. The first reason is because God has great zeal and fervor for Israel. He has not rejected Israel totally. He has not. And the rejection of Israel as a chosen nation is not final. It's a mystery which I'm going to run through. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to show you from the scripture. In fact, Romans chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible said, Israel is the beloved of God. She is being rejected is for the sake of the gospel. Okay, but she is the beloved of God. God has great zeal and fervor for this group of people. He loved her. In fact, David quoted, it's in the context of Israel, he said that she is the apple of God's eyes. Wow. So we can borrow it because our root is Jewish. Okay, turn me to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal." Okay, turn to me one more verse. Because we need to feel and see how God feels towards this group of people. No, it's not, again, it's not about, yeah, I like this Jewish thing. It's about God has great zeal for Israel. If God has great zeal for her, I better stand in alignment with God. Okay, I always say this, but thankfully, God has not. If God is done with Israel, I'm done. But the scripture teaches that he is not. So I say, yes, sir, I agree with you. Whatever you say is about your preference, it's about your truth. Okay, one more. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. We're going to talk about Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2 and 3 and the third weekend, because verse 2 talk about God's zeal and heart for Israel. Verse 3 talk about God's end time plan for Israel. Okay, verse 2 says this, Zechariah 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous. See, God used such an intense word. I am zealous for Zion, as if like he's emphasizing. I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. You can imagine, he is so intense about it. I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor, I am zealous for her. He has not rejected Israel. He loved this nation. Okay. The second reason why we need to understand is because God has a great plan for Israel. He has a great plan for Israel, which I'm going to run through a bit today, because the call of Israel, Romans 11 verse 29 says what? The call of Israel is irrevocable. I know there are people who teach it, oh, Israel is being written off. Now Israel is being replaced by the Gentile church. Grossly mistaken. That's why I'm going to show you from Romans chapter 11 afterwards, which is about the mystery of Israel. No, Israel will play a vital role in ushering the second coming of Jesus. Israel will have a primary leadership role among nations in the millennial kingdom. You know, the Bible teaches that Israel will be the first nation in the world to be 100% converted. First nation. Right now, there's no one nation even close. Israel will be the first one. No, some say America. No, it's not even near. You know, America is actually quite paganistic right now. We got to pray for America. Okay, so Israel will be the first nation to be 100% converted. Israel will be the first nation to fulfill the Great Commission. That's Isaiah. Israel will be the prototype. God will raise her up as the prototype of what it means to be a holy and godly nation. And along the way, nations will learn from her in the millennial kingdom. And the third reason we need to understand is so crucial, because it's the call of God for Gentile church to stand with her and to love her, especially in the last days. Turn with me to a few verses. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. There are three things God called the Gentile church to stand with Israel. The first one is to pray for her. To pray for her. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 7. Aren't we all very familiar with this verse? God say, I will put watchmen on the wall to pray for Jerusalem day and night, night and day. Do you know you study this carefully? No, we can borrow this verse for the Gentile church. That's why right now, all over the world, God is awakening the church to 24-7 house of prayer. But if you study carefully, the context is for Israel. No, I'm not saying that there's no place for us to pray for some other thing. But let me give you a challenge and a thought. If God called you to do house of prayer, one of the primary mandate, not the only, one of the primary mandate of the house of prayer is to pray for Israel. It's to pray for Israel. That's why we have prayer meeting now nearly every night, but at the end of last 10, 15 minutes, we will pray for Israel. We will pray for Israel. And we are praying and asking God to raise up one more night where the prayer meeting specifically focused on praying for this nation and this group of people. Because the scripture said, I have set watchmen on the wall, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day and night, night and day. You who make mention of the Lord will not keep silent and give him no rest till what? Till he establishes, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Has it fulfilled yet? Not even near. Do you know now Israel is probably one of the most paganistic nations? There are very few in Israel call upon the name of the Lord. We are praying for the salvation. But more than just for the salvation, we are praying that she will step into her destiny, the call that God has for this nation. This one record to pray for her. Second is to provoke her to jealousy. I'll explain to you what does it mean by provoking her to jealousy. That's Romans 11, verse 11. Turn with me to Romans 9. Let me just say a little bit. Romans 9. But that's why we need to do a proper teaching, is because all that we understand about Israel must be correct and biblical in accordance to the scripture. Okay, see, there are a lot of understandings based on sentimentalism or romanticizing of Israel. Well, it's good, but a lot of times you realize that it's not helpful. No, it's not helpful, because I've spoken to some Messianic Jewish people. You know, rabbi, they really call, they know Jesus, they love Jesus, or rather they call it Yeshua. They love Yeshua, they know Jesus, and so on. They say that some of what the Gentile is doing is not helpful. In fact, it's a turn off. It's a turn off. No, I'm saying this with great humility. Okay, it's not going to help. Everything that we need to understand about Israel has to come from the scripture. Turn with me to Romans 9, verse 1. Romans 9. That's where we go. We can go either extreme, which is dangerous. One extreme is God has totally written off Israel. The other extreme is, oh, Israel is so special. Write this statement down, okay, if you want to, because I will keep making this statement throughout this whole 4 weekends. Israel is special because God chose her. God did not choose Israel because she is special. Get it? That's what we got it wrong a lot of time. Oh, Israel. After a while, we seem to get more excited about Israel than God. No, we need to be excited about Israel because she is a special chosen nation that God raised up as a vessel and a vehicle for world redemption. But she is special because God chose her. Did God choose us? Amen? I didn't hear any amen. Okay, never mind, doesn't matter. Okay. Aren't you special too? See, that's where sometimes I will tell you very honestly, confession time. When I grew up in the church, I hate this, I was on the border of anti-Semitism. You know why? I hate this teaching about Israel because a lot of time I sit down and hear all those teaching. It makes me feel like the Jew is first class, the Gentile believers are second class. See, I read the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. We are all special in the eyes of God. The issue is the issue of what? Calling. Amen? That's where we got it wrong. Israel is special because God chose her. God did not choose Israel because she is special. She is as sinful as us. It's only by grace. That's where Romans 9 talk about the issue of election. Why God chose Israel as the vessel of honor? Why Pharaoh is chosen by God as a vessel of dishonor? It's an issue of election, not an issue of she's special or based on merit. That's why we need to run through Romans 9. It's a powerful description or definition of issue about election. That's why we need to understand correctly. Okay. Okay, turn with me to Romans 11. Now we're going to run through the mystery of Israel. Wow, my introduction is more than half an hour. Okay, Romans 11. I'm going to run through Romans 11, which is pertaining to the mystery of Israel. I hope I have time. Probably I may not. But I'll just run through quickly Romans 9 for the second hour. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Okay, give you some brief introduction to Romans 9 because Romans 9 give us the basic and foundational doctrine pertaining to the issue of Israel in the Bible. Okay, it's a must-know passage of scripture concerning Israel. I know it's a little bit challenging, but it's actually not that hard to understand. But it's a must-know. Okay, if you want to be a student in understanding Israel, this is where you start. Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11. Okay, Romans 9, 10, 11. Just give you a quick overview. Then I'm going to go straight into Romans 11. Okay. Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul basically teaches on three important issues regarding Israel. Okay. Everything centered around it. A lot of understanding and teaching of Israel comes from this three chapter. Chapter 9, okay, chapter 9. Chapter 9 is about Israel's divine election. Israel, divine election. Again, Paul is not addressing the issue of individual salvation. That's why a lot of people get confused. Okay, that's why there are many confusion coming. It's the issue of election, not the issue of individual salvation. Do you know that God deals with individual salvation and election of the nation is different? That's why Paul is trying to explain because there are many questions that pops up. Say, oh, the word of God is not trustworthy. Then God is not righteous. Then unfair what? I mean, if you are the one who make Pharaoh harden the heart and so on, so who are you to say that we are sinful? Because we don't understand it's the issue of not individual salvation, but national election. So that is Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 11 is about Paul explain. Okay, it's about issue of Israel's current rejection. Okay, when I say current, that means temporal, not final, okay? Paul is trying to explain why God temporarily rejected Israel, okay? In Romans 10, you can break into three parts, okay? That's where Paul gives four reasons why she is temporarily being rejected. And then he talks about the remedy for her rejection. That's why we need to preach the gospel to the nation of Israel. You know, some people say, all the Jewish people will be saved, regardless of whether they know Jesus or not. That's not true. Romans 10 makes it very clear. They have to call upon the name of Jesus. Okay? Or you can use the word Yeshua. Whatever you want to use. The Greek name of Jesus or the Hebrew name. There's only one way to salvation. It's the same for the Jew. I know there are many places it's grossly mistaken. Say, oh, every Jew, when they die, they go to heaven regardless of whether they know Jesus or not. No, that's not what Romans 10 talks about. Everything is through Jesus. It's all through Jesus, okay? I know, some people say, how about Abraham? See, the Old Testament saints look forward to the cross. We look backward. They know. They may not specifically have understanding of Revelation, they are looking forward to the Messiah. Okay, so it's the same. Okay, so there are three issues in Romans 10. Four reasons for her rejection, remedy for her rejection, and result of her rejection. That's where Paul explained. That's why the gospel come to the Gentile nations. Okay, then Romans 11, where actually Paul talks about the future restoration of the nation of Israel. Okay, turn to me to Romans 11.